Well, let's take a look at sports from last night. First in high school volleyball from the Hawkeye 10 Conference, it was Lewis Central sweeping three straight over Clarinda. In the Western Iowa Conference, Tri-Center took three in a row from Underwood. Missouri Valley, 3-0 sweep over IKM Manning. Griswold defeated Riverside, 3-1. In the Rolling Valley Conference last night, it was Coon Rapids Bayard, a 3-1 winner over Exira EHK. Cam defeating Arweva in three straight. In the Corner Conference, East Mills, a 3-0 winner over Mount Air. Essex swept Lennox two in a row, and South Page two in a row, while Lennox defeated South Page in two straight last night. Audubon hosting its Wheeler Cross Country Invitational last night. In the varsity girls race, it was Kate Crawford of ACGC winning with a time of 20 minutes, 7 seconds. Ella Waddle of Panorama, the runner-up, she was 16 seconds back. Tri-Center's Peyton Poggy was third, Alexis Post of Riverside fourth, and Lauren Embleton of ACGC placing fifth. Rest of the top 10 includes Gwen Steffen of Panorama, IKM Manning's Peyton Sporer, Amanda Brick of Tri-Center, Olivia Steffen of Panorama, and Tristan Hughes of Tri-Center in 10th place. Team standings, it was Panorama winning the title. They had 39 points, ACGC with 55, the runner-up, Tri-Center right behind at 56 for third place. Riverside, Nottoway Valley, and Audubon round out the rest of the six teams in that field last night. On the boys' side, it was Nottoway Valley's Bryson Wallace capturing the title. He ran 17 minutes, 18 seconds. He was better than Noah Nelson last night of ACGC. Nelson finished in 17:42 for second place. Joshua Bowdler and Tyler Braheny, both of Nottoway Valley, were third and fourth, while Josh Karstens of Panorama placed fifth. Rest of the top 10, Brett McGee of Tri-Center, Ben Braheny of Nottoway Valley, Cale Billheimer of ACGC, Garrett Young of ACGC, and Cade Jensen of Audubon round out the top 10. Nottoway Valley won the team title, 27 points. ACGC with 52 was second. Tri-Center had 64 points for third. Panorama, IKM Manning, and Riverside round out the top six teams in that Audubon Wheeler Cross Country Invitational last night. Turning to football, the AHSTW Vikings are off to a great start this football season. They're at 4-0. Their next challenge is taking on an improving Trainer Cardinals team at home tonight. The Cardinals are 2-2 on the season, but they had a lot of young players that are gaining valuable experience with each week of play. The Cardinals are coming off a nice win over Missouri Valley last week, 20-14. Trainer head coach Jeff Casey says he's been pleased with the improvement that his team has shown each time they've taken the field this year. He knows this week is a big challenge against a traditionally strong AHSTW team.
They've been really good for a long time. They're traditionally at the top of the district. And, I mean, the first thing we got to do is stop the run. I mean, that's an important goal every week. And they like to get downhill in a hurry. They motion a lot, do some misdirection that way, pull some linemen. You know, Gabe Pauly is a very, very physical runner, runs hard. He reminds me a lot of the kids from Missouri Valley last week. You know, we have to get a lot of people to the football, and we have to stay low, and we have to be physical back towards them.
The Cardinals have put a lot of effort into making their offense more balanced this season, and Coach Casey said they'll just need to keep working at executing their plays well in order to have success against an aggressive AHSTW defense.
They play defense like they play offense. They come at you. They're very physical, very fast. We just need to be sound in what we're doing, though. That's been our big goal offensively, is not adding a whole lot to the kids' plates. My philosophy is the more they rep it, the better they're going to be, and we've seen that take shape here in the last couple games.
AHSTW has shut out their last three opponents, and they've done it by playing their typical swarming defense. 11 different Vikings have double-digit tackle numbers on the season, led by Gabe Pauly. Vikings head coach Davis Pattee thinks they'll need to be ready for the run and the pass with talented players in the backfield for the Cardinals.
The Christensen kid is a really physical athlete. He's really good on both sides of the ball, and he's a load to bring down, I think. So he'll get his touches for sure, but the Fisher kid's really impressive as a sophomore. Really quick and elusive in open space. He'll make a lot of guys miss if you can't contain him. And he does have a really lively arm. He's going to be a great quarterback for them.
The Vikings offense has also had some good balance, with R.J. Harris leading the team at quarterback and Gabe Pauly leading the ground attack. Coach Pattee says his team will just need to stick to their game and be patient against the Cardinals.
You know, we need to stay patient and not try to force it anywhere, because, again, they've got really good athletes, and if we do anything silly, they're probably going to turn us over and make us pay. So we just, you know, need to be content with getting some chunks here and there and keep the chains moving and keep their offense off the field.
The Vikings coach Pattee also added that a big reason that they've been so successful is their ability to step up one part of their play when another is struggling. They've been able to step up play on offense, defense, and special teams at the right times this year to compensate for another unit having a bad night. We'll have coverage of that game tonight. That'll be our broadcast game. Cardinals and the Vikings here tonight on KJAN. Chris Parks, Mike Smith will be there in Avoca to bring you all of that action. Our day starts with who's going to win this evening at 6 o'clock, followed by the pregame show at 6:30 and kickoff at 7 o'clock in Avoca. Now, the Atlantic Trojan football team wants to bounce back from a disappointing outing in Week 4 against Winterset. Atlantic head coach Mike McDermott said the defense played well enough in that game to give them a chance to win, but the offense just didn't execute well. The Trojans will face a Creston team this week for homecoming that's also coming off a disappointing effort with a 35-14 Week 4 loss to Denison. Atlantic did a good job of containing Winterset quarterback Casey Kleemeyer last week, and they'll have a similar challenge with Creston quarterback Kylan Smallwood this week. Coach McDermott also knows a big challenge is matching up against the size that the Panthers have up front.
Well, they're really big up front, probably the biggest team we see. They've got, one D1 commit to Iowa State at left tackle, and their right tackle is probably just as good, and he's just not as big. So they've got, potentially two D1 players on the front five, and that's going to be a real concern for us.
The Atlantic offense sputtered to only 121 yards last week, and they were unable to take care of the ball, turning it over five times against the Huskies. Taking care of the ball is an obvious area for improvement, and McDermott said the line will need to be more consistent this week. Coach McDermott knows it'll be tough sledding in the middle against Creston's big guys, but he hopes they can get the ball to some of their quick athletes out on the edges.
I think, if we can get the ball to the perimeter, our guys are capable of doing something with it. So, yeah, they've got some decent athletes out there, but, just looking at it on paper, I think if we can get out there and get some hat on hats as far as perimeter blocking, that we'll be able to get some big chunks of yardage. But that's the key, though. Can we execute it?
Coach McDermott expects a great atmosphere at the Trojan Bowl on homecoming tonight and knows the players will be motivated to put their best effort out there for the crowd. You can hear the full interview with Coach McDermott on Trojan Preview this afternoon. That's at 4:45. Kickoff set this evening for 7:30 in Atlantic. In college football, the 21st-ranked South Florida Bulls have run their winning streak to a school record 9 by dominating last season's American Athletic Conference champions. Darius Tice rushed for 117 yards and two touchdowns, while the Bulls dominated both ends of the ball in a 43-7 rout of Temple last night. Quinton Flowers also ran for a pair of touchdowns for South Florida as they forced six turnovers and held the Owls to minus 4 yards of net rushing. Three former Michigan State football players charged with sexual assault have waived a key hearing and will advance to trial. Michigan judges typically decide whether there's enough evidence to hold a trial, but Josh King, Donnie Corley Jr., and Demetric Vance waived that hearing Thursday in East Lansing. A woman says she was assaulted in an apartment bathroom in January. Nebraska has fired athletic director Sean Eichhorst, citing his failure to improve on-field performance by the Cornhuskers. Eichhorst joined Nebraska in October of 2012 and has about $1.7 million remaining on a contract that runs through June of 2019. Eichhorst and football coach Mike Riley have been under increased scrutiny with the continued mediocrity of the program. Eichhorst hired Riley in 2014 to replace Bo Pelini. Los Angeles Rams were the NFL's lowest scoring team last year, but they've been an offensive juggernaut through three games so far this year. Jared Goff threw for 292 yards and three touchdowns as the Rams held off the San Francisco 49ers 41-39 last night. Goff's final TD toss was a 13-yarder to Sammy Watkins that put LA up 15 points early in the fourth quarter. Todd Gurley caught one of Goff's scoring passes and carried 28 times for 113 yards and two touchdowns. Robert Woods had six receptions for 108 yards, while Watkins also caught six passes for 106 yards. The 2-1 Rams have scored 117 points. That's the second most in franchise history after three games. A group of current and former NFL players has asked Commissioner Roger Goodell for the league's support for their campaign for racial equality and criminal justice reform. Yahoo Sports is reporting the players sent a 10-page memo to Goodell and NFL executive Troy Vincent in August, asking for money, political involvement, and other commitments from the league. It also asked the NFL to recognize the month of November as Activism Awareness Month. The website reports Wednesday night that Seattle Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett, Philadelphia Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins, and receiver Torrey Smith, along with former NFL receiver Anquan Boldin, co-authored the letter. The NFL declined comment when asked about the memo by Yahoo Sports. The players behind the letter didn't return requests for comment or declined to speak about it, according to the website. In Major League Baseball last night, Dexter Fowler delivered again, getting three hits and driving in two runs as the St. Louis Cardinals overcame Scott Schebler's two home runs to beat the Cincinnati Reds 8-5 for a three-game sweep. The Cardinals began the day 2.5 games behind Colorado for the second National League wildcard spot and 5 games behind the Central leading Chicago Cubs. Elsewhere in the National League, the Dodgers beat Philadelphia 5-4, Atlanta over Washington 3-2, Chicago over Milwaukee 5-3 in 10 innings, San Diego beat Colorado 3-0. Jason Vargas and four relievers combined on a two-hitter. Melky Cabrera had three hits in the game's only RBI, and the Kansas City Royals beat the Toronto Blue Jays 1-0 yesterday. Elsewhere in the American League, Cleveland beat the LA Angels 4-1, Baltimore over Tampa Bay 3-1, Minnesota 12-1 over Detroit, White Sox beat Houston 3-1, and Texas 4-2 over Seattle. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.